Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and in this special series of podcasts, I am bringing to you the most passionate and interesting people in bodybuilding and fitness. And this is a special series within the special series where I am bringing you the true legends of the sport of bodybuilding. And today, I have a real legend. He is Mike Christian. Mike Christian, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Skip. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, awesome. So glad to have the Iron Warrior with us today. So, Mike, I have to tell you is that I interviewed some of the legends that are going to be in Santa Clara this weekend. For those of you who are listening to it in a timely manner, this podcast in Santa Clara at the end of June, I talked to 8-time Mr. Olympia Lee Haney, who's going to be there, Rich Gaspari, Flex Wheeler, Mike Christian, Sean Ray, and every one of them, your name came up often, and they had a lot of great memories. Every single one of them had stories about you and so much respect for you. How does that feel?
It feels great. You know, they're all legends, and I can't believe I'm in the same lineup as those guys. You know?
Yeah. How does that feel
weird
when you look back on your career? Because we have some distance now. When was the last time you competed on stage?
1990 at the Olympia, and I went to WBF, and I competed 1 year there in 91.
Right. Okay. So we're talking about all that time. Now you have some time and space and distance. I know when a bodybuilder, a champion bodybuilder like yourself, you're never good enough. You're always going to that next level. Now you have that space and distance. I'm curious, what are you most proud of when you look back at your career?
I think the accomplishments, the most accomplishments I'm very happy with is when I won the Nationals and the Universe. I think it was uprising of my career, and I was the most happiest.
Right now, and then when you went on to be a pro, you placed third place in the Mr. Olympia, second place in the Arnold Classic. I mean, were those some of your most memorable pro debuts, or do you have other memories of other shows?
Yeah, I think the first couple of years of my time pro, they had kind of pit me against Lee Haney, saying I was his, the successor, the only one competing because I was a big and tall guy.
Right.
Kind of short. So they were putting the magazines, Mike Christian, the only one could beat Lee Haney, and this and that. And there was a lot of pressure on me, but I took it all in stride
right.
And trained really hard. And I was coming at all of the guys, on stage.
Right. Well, history is kind to be compared to someone like that. It makes you a legend in the sport. Tell me those times back then. It was a very special time. It was before the internet age, so there was a very special few that got the worldwide recognition like you did. You lived right there amongst in the mecca of bodybuilding at the time. Tell me about that time period and what it means to you now looking back.
It was pretty funny because I was like the mayor of Gold's Gym.
And
they can hear my laugh from the front of the gym all the way to the back of the gym. I was always laughing and smiling, pretty happy, except for two times a year I competed, Arnold Classic and Miss Olympia. The last 10 days, 2 weeks for the show, I kind of kept my head down, wouldn't look at people, and they would always come up to me and say, "Hey, what's wrong, Mike? What's wrong, Mike?"
Yeah.
Because I was so happy and laughing and slapping butts and feel my face. And they couldn't realize that I had 2 times a year. I was, dying real hard, training for the Olympian Arnold Classic. Leave me alone for these two big weeks to let me train, So it was a trip.
Yeah. Well, who were your – did you hang around other bodybuilders? Were they your friends and training partners? Who was in your special circle at that time?
Well, in the beginning, I trained with Charles Black. Him and I trained together for about a year, and he hurt his back. And I kind of picked up Luis previous year and a couple guys here and there, but I trained so hard, it was very difficult to keep training partners. I would run through probably 3 or 4 a year. Trained with the Barbarians for a while, but I was just so intense and such a demon training, they would say. I trained so hard, it was very difficult for me to keep training partners. I would go through, like I said, skip at least 3 or 4 a year.
You know, well, you know, what do you think that you drew the attention of Vince McMahon? And I want to know your thoughts. That was such a quiet an opportunity. I mean, definitely at the beginning when you looked at that WBF situation and the new direction with the new organization and all the money they threw at you. Bring me back to that time. And what was it about you when they hand-picked all of these stars and Vince McMahon, you know, coming from his wrestling background, I'm sure he looked for certain personalities that could really spice up his new federation. Tell me about that time, why they chose you, and tell me about your experiences.
Well, I had a lot of charisma, still have, but had at times a lot of charisma, so they definitely thought I fit very well into their organization. But he without an amateur federation, he was actually losing money. And, you know, it just took more than after the first year. He just completely lost his butt and he had to get rid of the federation. But in 1990, the last Mr. Olympia I competed with, I think fourth in that show, the drug testing show, Lee Haney won.
Right.
And I looked great there. So afterwards, I had to look at the mirror skip and say, Mike Christian, you'll never be Mr. Olympia.
Okay. Right, right.
If I didn't win it that year, I just said to myself, I would never win it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I actually, was looking for something else, and they approached me to WBF and offered me, you know, some big money and, you know, a place where I wanted to take bodybuilding my career anyway, you know, on TV and around the world. So I took advantage of it. But well, you know what I did, Skip?
Yeah.
It was so strange because I actually went to Joe Weider and talked to him before I signed the contract with Vince McMahon. I said, Joe, you know, you and I are very good friends. He had so much respect for me for some reason. But I said, we're very good friends. I just wanted to tell you that you know, they're offering me X amount of dollars. I said, I don't expect you to pay me the same, but I expect something. You know, I have to make a living. I got kids, you know, I want to make a house. And, you know, I want to make a living out of this career. And Joe said to me, he says, Mike, I will not compete. So I said, okay, no problem. So I mine with WF and the rest of history.
Yeah, well, you said X amount of dollars. I don't know how comfortable you are, you know, talking about that kind of money, but it was significantly more than what bodybuilders, even top bodybuilders like you, got paid at the time. Am I correct? Am I right that you're...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it
like,
was $300,000 a year. I was getting a check of $25,000 every month. I will look at it for 10 minutes every
yeah, right,
month
right.
when I got in the mail and said, no, this can't be $25,000.
Right, right. And tell me in comparison to the young guys who are listening to this podcast that, you know, now, you know, people can take advantage of social media and, hell, they can make that never even competing on a bodybuilding stage, let alone a Mr. Olympia stage outside of endorsements. But in comparison, what were the top bodybuilders getting paid back in those days to give the listeners a sense of what that paycheck was like in comparison?
Comparison to the guys making nowadays?
No. Comparison at that time, because that was a lot of money. I mean, it was so much more than anybody got paid. And I was wondering, you know, you said it was $300,000 into what were the top guys getting paid back then? Compared to your 300,000.
Oh, and Mr. Olympia and them, I have no idea. I don't think they were getting more than 100,000 a year.
Yeah.
I think Joe would only had maybe three guys on contract.
Yeah. So I mean,
he didn't basically. He was the only show in town, Skip. You know, so
right.
Him, you know, so he had to pay us. We would still go to a show, still do pictures in the magazine.
Yeah, you know,
he knew he had them.
Right. Well, I hear some bodybuilders who went to the WBF and they talk about how they may have regretted that career decision. I'm curious how you look at it now going back. I mean, do you have regrets or do you say, man, you can't pass up that money? Like you said, you knew you weren't going to be Mr. Olympia with Lee Haney's genetics. Do you have any regrets making that decision?
Not at all. You know, where they could have took the possibilities of that, my career and the show. You know, I was thinking it was going to make me like Hulk Hogan. I was like, I am warrior, you know? And what he did with the wrestlers, I figured he could do with me. So, and that much money, it was a no-brainer.
Right,
I would do it again. If he would have just, you know, did something a little different with the process, he would have been very successful. And I would have been a household name for sure.
Right, right. And they did
no
make
regrets.
I know they had the baseball cards, so the bodybuilder cards, and did they make a doll of you too at that time?
No, they did not.
Okay. I know they were talking about doing all that just like the wrestlers. Well, you hear in some of the other guys, right, that they're pretty vocal and open about the fact that they regret that decision. And what's some of the talk of what it did for their bodybuilding career? What was it? They felt they sold out for money. I mean, what was the why was that such a bad decision for them, do you think, looking back from what I'm sure you talked to these guys?
Well, the most thing I've heard from most of the guys is that he started the drug testing show after the first year. And that was just a very bad move for him and for us. We did not expect it. You know, we were doing what we were doing with the ICD, and we thought it was going to be the same. So it really hurt the bodybuilders really bad. So I think most of them regret that part on how he kind of led us on to go this way, and then in the middle of the street, he said, no, we're going to do this, you know? And that hurt all of us, all of our feelings, very bad.
Well, like, how close were to you, did you feel like you were to being done after that? I mean, you know, we all have a career and a certain amount of longevity. I mean, did you want to keep on going on? Where were you? What'd you do afterwards?
No, I definitely did not want to compete anymore. I think I'm the only one out of all the guys that didn't come back to IFBB. Thank God I had my sportswear company, Titan Everywhere, and I was making millions of dollars. I had in 15 countries around the world, so I didn't need to crawl back to, you know, Joe Weider and IFBB for them to place me low on the show. Like, I think they did most of the guys that came back, to be honest with you. None of the guys should have won the contest, but they did place lower than what they should have. So it's like, you know, they were just trying to make a point on, when you leave Joe Weider and IFBB, you can't really come back. You come back, we're going to dog you out. Skip. So that was kind of frustrating for most of the guys. So thank God I never did it.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it was
really bad on my head. You
yeah,
know?
Well, it sounds like it was a good spot for you. You kind of maxed out. You knew, you know, you were going to go as high as they were going to be. You're just about done. I mean, you got this big windfall of money with the possibilities, even though it didn't work out. Done competing, had your you know, I mean, your clothing company is it just brings back the memory of those golden eras of the 90s, which you're such a part of, right? The clothing at the time. So you're living down in Southern California. You know, are you making a comeback into the bodybuilding world? Is this Legends Seminar something that you're going to make a reemergence? And where have you been? What have you been doing?
Well, I've been gone for 15 years, Skip. So I am back in the mix of bodybuilding. I'm doing a lot of personal training at the Gold's Gym in DeSoto, Texas. I got a few great clients that look like they're ready for national competition. So I'm focusing on that. Also, I'm working on a book to tell my life, ups and downs of my life, and, you know, every day at the clothing company, you know, have personal problems and the whole thing. So I want to, you know, share that with the world and let people know that we're regular people. You know, bodybuilders aren't just on this pedestal, we're great and everything is amazing and fine all the time. We have ups and downs. We're, you know, human like everybody else.
Right.
So I really want to do this book, and I came from a real bad background. Most guys like Sean Ray and Lee Haney were ex-football players, and they got hurt and they started bodybuilding. That was, that was not my thing at all. I basically a gangbanger, and I was just pumping arms to go outside and knock out people and look big.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, when I talked to some of the legends, that struck me too, is that they started very young. They had a good family, supportive upbringing. And it's my experience being in bodybuilding for over a quarter of a century that, you know, most, not necessarily elite, not necessarily the legends, But the most people who get into bodybuilding, and Sean Ray noticed this. I just did a podcast with him that, you know, we're searching for something, right? So that was your experience. I think that most of us lifting weights have probably more similar experiences to you than what Lee Haney and Sean Ray did, right? So, I mean, how comfortable do you feel talking about those times? What about your childhood, and then what did bodybuilding bring to you in your life to kind of work that out?
Well, it was a hell of a changeover for sure for me. I came from the gangbang situations and moving to Portland, Oregon with my father. I just got a YPS that did 18-month bid in there, a youth authority. So my dad said, you got to get out of LA, come up to Oregon, you know, we'll see if we can get you a job. So brought me to Oregon, got me a job, started working at a recreation center with Chuck Amato, Mac Disman.
And how old were you America. Then? How old were you then?
Eight, 20 years old then.
Okay, uh-huh. And? Okay.
So started working out at the Mac Disman Community Center. And the guy there took a model, talked me into going to my first contest. And, of course, I was like, I'm not putting those little panties on and putting oil on going on the stage. But eventually talked me into it, and I entered the first show. I won it. I'm the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. And it was just such a skip, a big turnover, because I got the same, I don't know what you call it, but the crowd went nuts on me. And when I was in the gang, I would knock out somebody. The people was all, I was like a hero, you know?
So
exhilaration from when I won the contest, people was expecting and yelling and screaming and clapping and taking pictures. And I got hooked on that, man.
So you got the same type of acceptance and love and esteem. It replaced what you got in the gangs. But same thing, just different?
Yes, I longed for.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah. It was the same.
Yes, I longed for. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so once you started bodybuilding, did you ever get tempted back into that lifestyle? I mean, what happened after?
Yeah, it took me a while to actually get into being a real bodybuilder. I would go after the first 5 or 6 shows that I won, I still had that gangbang mentality, Skip, and I would go to, believe it or not, I would go to gym to gym and tell the other competitors, don't bother to go in because I was going to beat them.
Well,
unbelievable. I went to gym, kept doing that. So I still had that gang mentality in the first, you know, couple of years.
Well, let me get this straight. That wasn't the competitor. Was that the competitor saying you were going to beat them? Or was that the gangbanger?
The other competitors, don't go in the show. I'm going to beat you.
Okay. So it wasn't you were going to beat them down, threaten them, right?
No, not beat them, fight them down. I was going to beat them in the competition, of course.
All right. Well, you said that gangbanger. Yeah. I don't know how gangbangers do it. That's one way to eliminate the competition, right? All right.
Yeah, so that mentality, you know?
So you went the straight and narrow? I mean, did you come, you know, totally regimented to the bodybuilding lifestyle? I mean, how long did you balance the two? And then when did you just get rid of the gangbanger attitude?
It was fairly quick. After I started bodybuilding, and one of my first, you know, 5 or 6 shows in a row, I got to hang around with, like I said, Chuck Amato, my friend, Jim, and he taught me about dieting and training and the proper way to do the exercises. It took me the first 2 years at the very most. I turned my whole life around.
And
it was really a trip, because the week that I moved up to Portland, Oregon, my best friend that we used to run together every day got busted and went to jail for 35 years, just got off years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I probably would have been right there with him, Skip, if I had stayed there in L.A. So God just works in mysterious ways. You know, I feel that I was, you know, put in this position to be a bodybuilder and become famous and help other people.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome. And this story that you're telling, I know it will inspire a lot of other people. You know, take me back. You said your father brought you up to Oregon. Were you separated from – what was life like, I don't know, like at 8 years old that kind of led you?
It was difficult. My mother died when I was 9. And I was a mama's boy. I cried and sucked my tongue.
Yeah.
And was around her all the time. And I loved her so much.
Yeah.
So when she died, it really took a big toll. I mean, I kind of closed up and got within. And I was doing fairly bad in school. They said Mike has great handwriting, comes to class on time, and never late, and his attendance is great. But he acts up in class. He was, I was a school clown. So well, I always need that attention that I lacked from my, I think, my mother.
Yeah. No, I mean, I could totally understand that. I mean, you know, I got two little ones, and I'm a little bit older, but I just think those little babies, if my wife were to die, and I can just feel for you, you know, in a way that I know, I don't know, I could, I don't know if you're a parent and you can put yourself in that situation. Now, was your dad around when your mom died? How was that?
Not very old. He was a bus driver and a truck driver, so he was gone in that most of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of those events that can take it in one direction. And so bodybuilding, it, you know, saved you. So from 9 to about 20, things started coming off the rails and bodybuilding reined you back in, huh? So you were, you got all this, this praise, you got to travel around the world, you became a Mr. Universe in the bodybuilding magazines. I mean, boy.
Covers.
Yeah. I mean, that must have been an awesome feeling, you know, a big shift from that hurt little boy at 9 and that travel. Tell me, how does that feel? A lot of guys who kind of make such a swing, you know, it's hard for them to feel comfortable with that level of success. Did you feel any of that, or were you just going with it and making everything out of it? Did you feel... because what happens is that, and maybe you know what you felt this way, is that your world gets rocked as a young child like that. You know, I just, you know, my heart goes out to you how that must have felt. But then they don't feel safe and secure, even they don't know why, when they're an adult. So, like, you had all the success, but did it feel, at least not intellectually, but emotionally shaky at the time, even though the world told you?
I was diagnosed with being bipolar about 15 years ago after I had taken the break I took. But I think that was part of the problem for sure. But in the gym, I was the happiest person, nicest guy. All my appearances were, you know.
Yeah.
But I think when I got
your
home,
safe
I
place.
Was kind of down and out and a little depressed. And, and I couldn't believe that people actually looked at me as being somebody like Mr. America, Mr. Universe. I didn't believe I was really that person, no skip.
Yeah.
I would, like, they would be in awe of me. I would walk through the crowd and you could see him whisper, "My Christian."
Right.
And you can't stop and just stop and shake one person's hand. You got to shake everybody's hand. So I would kind of have to keep straight and kind of look ahead and go to my booth and, you know, tell people, come over to the booth. I'll be signing autographs. I'll talk to you there. But one good thing is what I did, and I think was great for my career, and it helped me to be lasting all these years. Yeah, basically, when I did any appearance, most of the guys didn't do this, but when I signed autographs and gave them a picture, I would always sign the picture, ask them the name, put the name on there, say, so ask them how they're doing, is that your baby, you know? And they all felt very personal with me, you know, like, I'm like Christian. And they would text me or talk to me 10, 20 years later and say, Mike, remember this? Remember that?
Yeah,
we
went
to get ice cream and this and that. And Lord knows, can I remember?
Yeah.
But I was such a good-hearted guy to most people, they say. And, you know, I think it helped my career toward the end and even now. Skip.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we want to talk about your business, how you took that personality and that success on stage to build a worldwide workout clothing company. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast.
This is IFBB Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder Sean Ray. Join me and some of the other legends of the sport of bodybuilding, like 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney, Hall of Famer Rich Kaspari, and Flex Wheeler, along with Chris Cormier, Mike Christian, and Skip LaCour at the Legends Seminar Saturday and Sunday, June 27th and 28th in Santa Clara, California at the San Jose Championships. Get up close and personal with these amazing champions and find out what made them great during their competitive days and what's driving them now as we continue to find out what they eat and what are they doing today. For more information about this Sean Ray production, make sure you go to legendsseminar.com.
We are back with the Iron Warrior, Mike Christian, Mr. Universe. So, Mike, you talked about how you kind of broke past some challenges you had in your longer life, younger life, and you had this bodybuilding go-to and this personality and fans around the world, success on stage. You found your place in the gym. And then you turned all of that into a clothing line. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I started a clothing line called Platinum Everywhere by Matt Christian. And I made the baggy pants that were small at the ankle, huge in the thighs, and small at the waist. And the neckline with the shorty strap. So it was made for bodybuilders.
That is the 90s personified, right? Your Platinum Everywhere was the 90s personified.
That's right. So what I did is I had no business background at all, but I just gave it to other bodybuilders. I knew they traveled around the world, and they wore them and traveled around the world. And people said, where do you get them crazy pants? The Mike Christian California. So it was Mike Christian's crazy California pants that took off like hotcakes. And, I mean, like I said, you know, God bless me. I made millions of dollars. I sold 15 to 18 countries around the world, and you know, I had it for like 25, 30 years. I was truly blessed because I think I only had one job in my life for 17.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
From then on, I was, you know, entrepreneur.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a reason why you weren't like some of these other bodybuilders. You just hung on to the stage. You had a place to go after you were competing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was fun on stage. Yeah, when I got on stage, man, it was with my charisma, my attitude, boy, I would do that. The tricep shaking, I would just shake it for a while, look at the crowd, and then hit it.
Yeah.
I would play with people. I have them eating at the palm of my hand. It was so great. It was so much fun. Yeah, I had a great time doing it, man. People loved it. I loved it. I would give them the Amy's face and hit a crab and the Gaspari and the May and just go at them. Just in a nice, playful way, you know, but
yeah,
I would go at him on stage. It was that war, basically, you know.
Well, where have you been, and how are you coming back into bodybuilding? I mean, besides the seminar, besides your training, I mean, are you back for good? Are you kind of dabbling? Do you want to make a big social media presence?
I'm training hard. I'm training like 4 or 5 days a week, so I'm getting back in shape. Like I said, you know, I took a 15-year layoff, so I got a lot of catching up to do with these guys nowadays. Every Lee Haney and Flex, Gaspari, Barry DeMay, all these guys are so good. They're so fit and in shape.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get, you know, get like those guys. I mean, Ronnie Robinson, he's incredible looking.
Right.
So at 6 years old, I'm basically skipped just trying to get in shape and kind of be nice and fit and hang with my boys.
Okay. So your family, I did see you on a video interview on MuscularDevelopment.com. Do you plan on making a comeback to the sport as a legend, as a teacher, making a social media appearance? I mean, you're back, but how much are you going to get back with us here in the bodybuilding world?
I'll take it as far as I can. I'm not going to compete, of course, yet, but
right.
You know, I'll be in social media, I'll training folks, do some more travels around the world, do legends, appearances, you know, just have fun with it. It's so great to be with my old friends, you know, all those guys. And we were really good friends. I mean, I would help those guys, whatever they needed, they could come to me.
Yeah, no,
I would help. And that wasn't the norm back in my day. Well, it was like me and maybe one other person that would actually, you know, help, because they were like, I can't help you. You know, I don't want you to get better than me and BB. And like Sean Ray, you know, I helped him and he actually, you know, saved BB, you know, but I would give all secrets to make no difference. I was just always there to help the guys and do what I can for them, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, they all talked about you. They all brought you up in the podcast and they all had a lot of respect and a lot of fond memories, for you. So that'll be great to get some video footage, maybe even some more interviews with you guys, a lot of pictures. You know, you're back. We'll get those going all over the internet. For those of you people who want to train, I don't know how open your schedule is. Is there a way for them to contact you right now for those people? You know, I tell you, when they were going, let's say, through their 30s, let's say, I mean, you bring back their golden days. I mean, when they are on top of the world and in shape and a great young part of their life, I mean, they've got a lot of emotion attached to you. And I'm sure right now that they're in their 50s, bringing back those great memories, is there a way to talk to you, do some coaching with you, some phone consultation, fly out to Texas?
Oh, for sure. I'll be there Saturday. We're doing the seminar, and I have a telephone number. If you can get a hold of me, it's 972-598-2737. You can call me direct. I have Facebook. It's MikeChristian474@gmail.com.
Okay. So, again, I'm going to repeat those numbers, 972-598-2737, 972-598-2737, and you can email Mike at MikeChristian474@gmail.com. That's MikeChristian474@gmail.com. Okay, great. So let's talk about those 15 years. I don't know if you want to spoil the book, give us a little teaser.
I don't want to give it too much. You hit the nail on the head.
All right. Do you have a title for your upcoming book, Mike?
We're not for sure.
Okay.
The Rise and Fall of the Iron Warrior. We got a couple different titles that we're thinking about. I'm actually, I think I'm going to do it with Beck Weir, the author.
Okay.
Cindy Pearlman. Yeah, she did Beck Weir's book, and she's a great author. We've been talking together for the last 3 months, so I think I may go with her.
Yeah, now Flex already has the book out, so you know he was. Can you give us a little teaser? I mean, what can we learn? I mean, we're all going through our challenges in life. Maybe you don't have to tell me about your specific situations, but coming out the other side, being back here where you love and sounding so great like you are, you know, I'm sure your story is going to help so many people out there who are hurting. I mean, you coming out the other side, what advice, what words of encouragement could you have for them?
Just keep your head up. If you have a downfall, get up and get back on the horse and keep on going. No matter what people say or what people think, you know, don't give up on yourself. That's so important. Because I would have my ups and downs, and I just felt nobody cared, nobody wanted me, or nobody wanted to see me anymore, and I just got deeper and deeper into depression.
Oh, really?
But for sure, you can get back on the horse and you can get back going. Life can be a lot better and actually better than it was when you actually competed.
Yeah.
I'm happier now than I did when I competed. It was a little personal back then.
Oh, really?
I didn't show it, but.
And so how are you handling the depression for those people what advice, how would they go about taking care of it, and how'd you get the bipolar under control?
Oh, I take medication, I do therapy. I haven't done therapy in a couple of years, but I do therapy and just go through a whole process of, you know, finding out why.
Uh-huh.
And a big problem, Skip, was with me being bipolar and then me taking anabolic steroids, you come down from the steroids, you get it down. You get a whole load, your hormones, you know, you have to produce your own hormones, come back up. So you go through a low on that. Along with the bipolar, I just went freaking off the gate, you know?
Yeah.
I had a real bad time. I didn't realize I was bipolar, so I would wonder why I was feeling so down.
Oh, really? When did you find out that, when were you diagnosed with being bipolar?
Was it about 15 years ago.
Oh, really? So after your bodybuilding career, so your the hormones and, you know, even for those people, I mean, even dieting, right? You're trying to get back in shape. That's got to affect your hormones too, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm handling it very well now.
Good.
You know, with
good,
medication
good, good.
And the therapy that I received, it's not a problem at all.
Well, what's your personal life like these days? I mean, you talked about your boys. I mean, what's life like for you now, and what's in the future, you know, outside of the seminars, outside of the training? You talk about that, and I'm love hearing it that you're happier now than ever. I mean, what's life like for Mike Christian?
Well, I have three kids. I have one, my daughter, who I live with in Texas now, her name is Tokiba Christian. She's been an angel. She brought me from the depression, brought me up in Texas, and kind of took care of me and spoon-fed me, and I get better and better each year, and she is my savior for sure.
Oh, wow.
And I also have her older brother is Tredane. Her younger brother is Tredane Christian. He's 27, and he's in Seattle. And then I have the youngest one is Miles Christian, in Eastern California. Okay. So it's like every 10 years I had a kid.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
But, you know, I wouldn't have babies to have babies. I always said that if I was going to have a child and bring it to the world, Skip, I would have had to have money to take care of it. So I had to wait 10 years to accumulate enough money to make sure I felt comfortable taking care of it. So every 10 years I had a kid.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's responsible. And, you know, it's good to have family, you know, help, like you said, helping out. That's so great to hear.
Yeah, well, behind me 100%.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I have always been a fan of you in the magazines. I mean, like I said, I mean, when I started lifting, that was a very special time in my life. If you remember when you first fell in love with weights, and there weren't too many heroes out there like you. The magazines were the only time you got a connection. It wasn't like this internet now. So you guys really earned your legendary status by being in a very elite group at that time. And I just want to thank you for all the memories. It's going to be really exciting to meet you. And we could get some little video clips and maybe some other things. So we have so many people around the world who aren't going to be able to be in Santa Clara, but maybe they can get a little bit of the experience, you know, via the internet. It's gonna be fun seeing you, getting some pictures of you with all of those legends and champions. So
it's gonna be so much fun, man.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your time. You taking the time to do all this. Welcome back. I'm glad that you're happy.
Thank you.
And for the Iron Warrior, Mike Christian,
Iron Warrior is back.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you in Santa Clara.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you back for the Iron Warrior. I am Skip LaCour. Thanks for listening to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's bodybuilding and fitness podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.